Previously on Snicktoons.
Did I say Snicktoons? Yes, that's right. I said Snicktoons. We are back covering X-Men the Animated Series. Bub, here's why. It is now the year 2023. And that means later on in fall of this year on Disney Plus, they will be dropping a brand new animated series called X-Men 97. It is an X-Men animated series sequel that is supposed to pick up right where this show leaves off. And we still have a lot of ground to cover to get through all five seasons of X-Men the Animated Series so that we can be ready and prepared for when X-Men 97 finally premieres. At this point, all we know is fall 2023. The release date is still TBD. So we don't know if this is coming in August or September or October or whatever of this year. But looking back at the schedule, looking at all of the episodes that we've already covered of X-Men the Animated Series and all the ones that we have left to cover, it's going to be about 6 months worth of episodes of Snicktoons. So we are back, hopefully with a vengeance, and I'm going to try my best to power through the remaining 30-odd episodes. I think we still have like 31 episodes, or maybe it's lower, maybe it's 29 episodes, but either way, a lot of content to cover, and I will do my best to get something out every Saturday from here on out until we are done with X-Men the Animated Series, and then we can take that time and prepare for the premiere of X-Men 97. But to go back to our Cyclops voiceover, previously on Snicktoons. Last time on Snicktoons, we welcomed back returning special guest Brett Scott from the amazing Marvel Plus. So he should be dropping some stuff here pretty soon because there are some MCU projects coming up later on this month. And if you don't want to wait, then check out his Patreon. He's got quite a few supporters over there and he's looking to grow that. So if you like Brett Scott, if you like Marvel Plus, definitely go over and check that out. But while he was on, we covered the final episode of the Dark Phoenix saga, which was episode 4. And I'm already drawing a blank on the title. I believe it was Fate of the Phoenix, but that's probably the finale of the Phoenix saga. Either way, it was a great episode, and they really gave us so much from the comic. I mean, the showdown with the Shi'ar Imperial Guard on the blue area of the moon was fantastic, and it made for just a really great episode of X-Men the Animated Series. And of course, before that, Brett and I talked about all kinds of MCU stuff up to that point in the year. I think this last episode we did came out in August of last year. So right before we got Werewolf by Night and before Black Panther Wakanda Forever and the Guardians holiday special. So we missed out on all that stuff. That was a long, long time ago. But yeah, we talked about the MCU up to that point in 2022 and kind of briefly touched upon the few things that were coming up that he was really excited to cover on his own podcast. And like I said, go check out Marvel Plus because it's fantastic. And I think with that, we can jump into today's episode as we discuss X-Men the Animated Series, Season 3, Episode 18, Orphan's End. All right, Bub. So one thing here, this is going to be another solo episode. I don't have a special guest for this one, although I did originally have one lined up for this episode. I was really excited to have her on. She had actually requested this episode specifically when I had first reached out to her at the beginning of when I was scheduling season 3 episodes. So I'm really bummed out that I wasn't able to get her back on to cover this episode because I know she was really excited for it. But it's entirely on me. It's entirely my fault. We had a recording day scheduled. We had a time slot scheduled to get on a call together and discuss this episode. And I completely flubbed all of my prep and totally was not prepared for recording. And so I had to cancel at the last minute, which is not cool. And since then, I haven't been able to get in touch with her to get her back on to cover this episode. So I was actually considering just making this like a lost episode that would just randomly be inserted in like late season 4 or 5, because I think thematically that would fit a podcast that covers X-Men the Animated Series, as many of these episodes, that is what happened. Like the animation wasn't done or whatever, and they ended up getting slotted later on in seasons out of order where it didn't make any sense. But you know, I just I didn't want to do that. I was like, nah, I can't skip the episode, even though I messed it up and I can't get the guest back on. I should still cover this episode of X-Men the Animated Series. And it's a fairly fun episode, especially if you are a Cyclops fan. We actually get to see a side of him that's not necessarily a stick in the mud or a wet blanket or the overbearing Boy Scout that he usually is. Throughout what, these first 2.5 seasons, almost 3 full seasons, Cyclops has pretty much been like, I don't want to say a jerk, because I don't think that's the case. He's not doing the things that he does to be mean. He's just very serious. And it's like, dude, you gotta relax. And I think this episode, we kind of get to see a different side of him finally. You know, he was very worried and all that through the Phoenix and the Dark Phoenix sagas, rightfully so. And everything before that, he was just very rigid. And even in this episode, he stays rigid, but we still get to see like a new side of him. He's able to turn over a new leaf. So this is actually a really fun episode to do, regardless of whether or not I have a guest with me. Because this is a solo episode, we'll probably do the same format that we did for the long shot episode, which was only a few episodes ago, where I just kind of do like a live commentary. I actually have a couple of interesting things to say about this episode in particular, based on who this episode's guest stars are in the cartoon. There's some characters that make a return here, and I feel like I have some interesting things to say about those characters. So hopefully this goes well and it goes off without a hitch. This is a format that I don't necessarily like to go to. I never got too much feedback on the long shot episode or even the Cold Comfort episode that I did with Landy, where we just sat down together and kind of watched an episode and commented on it as we were watching it live. So we'll see. Like, I don't even know if you guys like these kinds of episodes, but for a solo episode, this is kind of the best I can do. It's either I watch it and give live commentary and maybe I have interesting things to say, or I just give you a really dull monotone recap of, you know, event X happens and then event Y happens and then event B happens, you know, like that's kind of dull, right? So at least this kind of gives us a little bit of variety. But either way, like I said, I am back with season 3, episode 18, Orphan's End. And before we jump into our actual, you know, commentary and all that, a couple of things to say here. If you've listened to any of the podcasts that I do, either of the two that we do on this feed, on this Talkin' Snicked feed, then you've probably heard me mention this game called Marvel United. I talked about it. I feel like I just yelled at everybody about how great of a game this is, or how great of a game I expected it to be, like all of last year, pretty much from March when we were supposed to get our pledges all the way through June when I finally got mine. And then a little bit after that, and if any of you have listened to the Snicktimus Holiday Special, then you have heard me give like a rundown of how you set it up and just get a game going with my guest host and good pal, Kurt Schmidt. Well, since we recorded that last episode, and since that last episode aired in December, CMON and Spin Masters, those are the two game companies that kind of joined forces to bring us these two different Kickstarter campaigns for this game, Marvel United. Well, they've launched a third campaign. They actually launched it in mid-January, and I had no idea this was coming. I woke up to a notification in the Discord from Kurt saying like, hey man, have you seen the new campaign? Are you back in it? And I had no idea this campaign was coming. It's not just X-Men season 2. It really is just a full season 3 of Marvel United. They've covered characters from Avengers and Fantastic Four and X-Men and all these other new characters that we didn't see before, like Young Avengers and Inhumans and stuff. We've seen them finally make their debut in the game in this season. So I just want to give a shout out. At the time you're hearing this episode, there's like 3 or 4 days left in the campaign. The campaign ends on Kickstarter on February 8th. That's next Wednesday. So if you're at all interested in this game, go over to Kickstarter, just type in Marvel United. And this campaign is called Marvel United Multiverse. There are some opportunities to buy some of the past stuff if you don't already have it, as well as a bunch of different expansions that they've released so far throughout the duration of this campaign. And a lot of really great characters, especially X-related characters, have made their debut. We are getting like 90s X-Factor Havoc, which I'm really excited for. A lot of the people in the campaign seem to be hit or miss for them. A lot of them considered it the low point of all three campaigns, but I'm a huge Peter David's X-Factor fan, and not just his X-Factor investigation stuff that he did in the mid-aughts, which is excellent, by the way, but that first original run on X-Factor that he had from like X-Factor 71 to like 92 or something, it was like 21 issues long, give or take. It was excellent. Like, it is some of the best X-Men stuff I feel that we've ever had. In my opinion, it's like the definitive versions of many of these characters. Like, we've never gotten a Havoc either before or after that was as good as Peter David's Havoc. Same thing goes with Polaris. Same thing goes with Strong Guy. Same thing goes with Wolfsbane. I think maybe we did get a better Multiple Man during X-Factor Investigations, but these first 20 issues or so that he wrote, like, Jamie Madrox kind of went from being just this random background character who would sometimes show up on Muir Island to like a major player in the X universe. And he also managed to take a character like Quicksilver, who up until 1991 was pretty much just a jerk and no one liked him because he was always a jerk. I don't think that what Peter David did excuses Quicksilver from being that way, but it definitely explains it. And you kind of see him and you're like, oh, okay, well, if I was in his shoes, I would probably be like that too, because I would also be out of patience and with good reason. Like, I don't know, Peter David's original run on X-Factor, it was just so good. And I love it so much, even though it's so short. So I loved seeing that 90s X-Factor Havoc, because in the Marvel United game, we got the X-Factor versions of all the other characters: Polaris, Wolfsbane, Multiple Man, Quicksilver. Quicksilver, we actually got his Avengers version, but it's the same costume. And who I'm missing one, Strong Guy. Like, we got the X-Factor versions of all of those characters, and now we're getting the Havoc that goes along with it. And like, this is a Havoc who is almost all the way in control of his powers. Like, this is a Havoc that wasn't being manipulated by some damsel in distress or whatever, like, which seems to be what would always happen to him. Like, in the comics up to that point, he was always like the guy that would fall for it and would, you know, fight his family and friends and brothers and all this stuff, like, because he was being manipulated and taken advantage of mentally and stuff. And like, I hated that, you know, like, this was like a Havoc that was almost in charge, but like, he didn't have that lame edge that Cyclops does in the 90s. He kind of had like a cool vibe to him, and he had a cool jacket and everything. I don't know. I loved it. And I loved seeing that character. But they've added a bunch of X-Men characters. Like, they added Aurora to almost finish Alpha Flight. They've added Siren to almost finish X-Force. We're still waiting on a Megan for Excalibur. We're still waiting on Richter. We're still waiting on Shaman to finish some of these teams. But like, we're getting characters that I didn't expect to get. Like, they gave us a Cypher character, which is awesome. And they gave us Daken and like a new version of Magic that could be played as either a hero or a villain. They've added some cool stuff in this season. And again, even if you're not just an X-Men fan, like, you might listen to this podcast because you're a fan of me, or you're a fan of Wolverine, or you're a fan of this cartoon, but you're a greater Marvel fan. Even if you're not just an X-Men fan, there is a lot of really good stuff in all three of these campaigns, especially the one that's going on now. So jump on Kickstarter, check it out. If it interests you, they've got a lot of the previous stuff now available retail. You can get either of the two core boxes that have come in the previous campaigns, as well as many of the expansions. They've now gone to their retail versions, so you get most of it. You might be missing a figure or two that you would have gotten had you backed the previous campaigns, but either way, like, you're still getting all the best characters, and there's a lot of it out there, so go check it out. And I'll kind of jump down from my soapbox, because Simon's not paying me to say all these things. I just genuinely really like this game, especially as an X-Men fan, but even as a Marvel fan, like, there's a lot in here So seriously, go check out that that Kickstarter campaign. And the one last thing I wanted to say before we jump into the episode is I didn't think we were going to ever get these characters. I figured that these characters were too obscure, too niche. You know, it's too much like X-Men, but not X adjacent enough to really warrant being in the game. But one of the teams they've released in this season of the Kickstarter is the Starjammers. The very first stretch goal that we unlocked throughout this campaign was Corsair. And eventually they added Chode, and they added Raza, and they added Hepzibah. And it looked like that was it. It was like, all right, now that the Starjammers are complete, here's your four characters. And then, like 10 stretch goals later, they're like, just kidding, here's Lilandra. And also, here's a team deck that you can use if you use, four of these five characters in any given game. You can use this deck. So, like, it completely blew my mind. And that's kind of where we're coming from when I mentioned that I have some interesting things to say about the characters who guest appear in this episode. And so I think that we can jump into our episode now. All right. So as I said, we are here for season 3, episode 18 of X-Men the Animated Series, and that is an episode called Orphan's End. So this one actually originally aired out of order. And it was also put out of order on the original DVD release from way back in 2009 era. So this one originally aired February 25th, 1995. It was written by Doug Booth, and then of course edits, story edits by Eric Liewald, and direction from Larry Houston. But I really like this episode. It is kind of weird that this is like the first episode after the Dark Phoenix saga, a saga that saw them change the ending from the comic to keep Jean alive. And yet this episode, we don't have Cyclops hanging out with Jean or really anything like that. It's just Cyclops and Storm and the guest starring Starjammers. That's pretty much it that we get in this episode. I think we don't have Jean for like the next 4 or 5 episodes, which is very strange, you know, but I guess they gave her a break after all of the Dark Phoenix stuff. But either way, this episode is pretty good. And I think we can start our commentary. So I am actually no longer watching these on Disney Plus. So thankfully, I have the book previously on X-Men to get the correct order of episodes. And if that doesn't work, because there is a discrepancy between previously on X-Men and X-Men, the art of making an animated series. I forget what it's called. It's like the art and something of X-Men, the animated series. But that one actually has a different ending episode of season 3. In a different starting episode for season 4, but it does still have them in the same order. So even though I'm not watching on Disney Plus, I should still be able to get to all of the episodes in the correct order, since Disney Plus redid how they had all of their episodes back in like August or September, where they reordered everything to be in the correct order rather than the air date, which is how the DVDs do them, therefore how they are in iTunes, because that's actually how I'm watching them now. I've actually, before I jump on another soapbox here, I actually canceled my Disney Plus subscription, and I'll sign up for like 1 month at the end of the year and just binge everything that I actually want to watch, which is like the Star Wars shows. And that's pretty much it. I'm not really a Disney fan. I don't really like the direction the company has gone with their entertainment and their agenda. And I don't care to watch anything on there or to give them 12 months worth of subscription when all I need to do is sign up for 1 month and I can binge the few things that I actually want to watch. So that's the approach I've taken this year. I may end up signing up for like a month here or there, like a month after Mando and then like a month after Ahsoka, just so I can binge those without having too many spoilers, but I don't really mind spoilers. So I'm happy to wait till closer to, you know, once everything that I actually want to watch has come out, then I can sign up, binge the things that I want to see, and then let it cancel again. In the meantime, I've picked up Paramount Plus, and I've been making my way through Legends of Hidden Temple that was on in the 90s that I used to watch as a kid all the time after school, and the 2003 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series. Like, so that's kind of what I've been doing. But luckily for me, I own all of the X-Men cartoons and every live-action X-Men movie, as well as all the seasons of all the live-action shows, which is the two of them. I own all of that stuff in iTunes anyway, of course, so I should still be able to get all of this stuff watched. So I think without further ado, we can jump into Season 3, Episode 18, Orphan's End, in 3, 2, 1. And I do like that it does start right away, you know, the previously on X-Men, as they've done throughout this show, where they've gone back and showed us clips, not just from like the one episode before, but they're actually doing like the whole recap. Like the Starjammers find themselves in this episode. And so they're giving us a whole breakdown of all of the Starjammers stuff from the original Phoenix Saga, which was like at the very beginning of this season. So I really do appreciate they're doing that. And they're showing us all the important stuff, like that Jean found out that Corsair is actually named Christopher Summers, and he is actually the father of Cyclops, and Cyclops's brother, who has not made an appearance in this series yet. Although, or actually, yeah, he has. We saw him as 90s Havoc in the Cold Comfort episode. Duh, I totally forgot about that. But I think we actually see like black suited Havoc a little bit later on in an episode where they're doing some flashbacks. So it's interesting. I don't know. That's my theory, I think, but I could be wrong. I think that was the Xavier Remembers episode. He has like a concussion, and he's going through like some of his old memories. And I'm pretty sure that when he has like some memories that happen in or around like the Silver Age, like I'm pretty sure Havoc's there, which is interesting because Havoc and Cyclops didn't seem to know each other in the Cold Comfort episode, although they did at least remark that their powers like canceled each other out. So that was cool. But I don't know. I think that episode's actually coming up in the next five or so episodes that we're doing. So I wonder if I'll even remember that I said this when we finally get to that episode. So here we are, like we're done with our previously on X-Men. Now the episode begins in earnest. Ooh, so I have to tell you all. So this one's actually starting like on an airplane, and there's like, you know, an alien ship kind of flies by. It's a very clearly whoever owns the ship is overcompensating for something. But we see these like alien ships come in. Of course, we know from the previous on X-Men that this episode has the Starjammers, and if we've seen the episodes from the Phoenix Saga, then we'd probably recognize this, you know, this pursuit ship as a Shi'ar ship, and that first ship as the Starjammer, because it did play pretty heavily into the Phoenix Saga episodes. But it's worth mentioning here, like a few years back, I was like really into fan casting and stuff. I didn't really do it for like a podcast or for Twitter or anything like that, but I got really excited into like fan casting. Like, what if they did actually good live action X-Men stuff, specifically a TV series, because that would be better for, you know, a team based ensemble, because you can introduce a couple of characters and, you know, let them have various arcs. Usually, you know, a TV show has more than one character, whereas a movie is generally better if it's focused on a small group of characters, and the X-Men are a very large group. So I thought, all right, well, what if they did a live action TV series of X-Men, and not like The Gifted or Legion, where it's just X-Men related stuff and it kind of hints at mutants, like straight up X-Men, you know, original five and all that. And so I actually did my fan casting, and in order to get like the fan cast correct, I actually outlined like three seasons worth of like story arcs. And like my pilot episode started with like the Cyclops backstory. Cyclops is the first X-Man. And so I wanted really Cyclops to be the driving force behind this, the first season, season one, as like, he's really the one that becomes the field leader of the X-Men and kind of steps into that role. So I wanted him to be the focal point of the show, and like how these other characters, even though they've had their own individual arcs, like how they helped shape him into the Cyclops that we know. You know, how does Angel being on the team affect him, and Beast and all that, especially Jean. But I actually wanted the series to start off with the Summers family in their family airplane flying one night in Alaska, where they're like accosted by the Shi'ar and his parents are taken, and him and Alex are strapped into that parachute and like thrown out of the plane and all that. Like I wanted to, that was how the pilot episode begins, but oh well. Anyway, so in the episode, I'm glad that we have Cyclops and Corsair here, and both of these characters are very headstrong, which is fitting. But at this point, Corsair's like, hey man, I'm glad I ran into you, and we were coming here on purpose, but like, you have something of mine I need you to return. Like, do you think you can return that pendant that was mine? And Cyclops is looking at it, he's like, wait a minute, and he opens it and he's like, hold on, why do you have a pendant that's a picture of me and my mother and my brother? And Corsair's like, what do you mean? That's a pendant of my wife and sons. And so they come into this agreement where they don't believe each other. They're like, no way. Like, you can't be my dad and you can't be my son. Absolutely not. And Storm is just kind of there like, well, you know, it's obvious. I actually like this version better. The comic way that Cyclops finds out that Corsair is his dad is he's in the Savage Land and he's going to shave in the mirror because it's been a while. And the stubble on his face is the shape of the you know, mustache and stuff that Corsair has on his. And Cyclops is like, wait a minute. When I have this stubble, I look just like Corsair. Oh my goodness, is he my father? Like, like it's a bit of a reach there. Not one of Claremont's best moments, but pretty fun. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. So Storm just threw out her world-famous line of, I shall meet you at the monorail. So good. Just like so overly dramatic. But at this point in the episode, you know, Cyclops and Storm know that, you know, some Shi'ar criminals were on their way to Earth. Of course, now they know it's Corsair. And so they're being pursued by the Shi'ar now. And of course the X-Men are like, oh, it's fine. We have a monorail that, you know, will take us into the X-Mansion or one of our like ready room type deals, and we can grab our go bag and like bug out. And so now we're getting some melodrama here between Scott and Corsair. And here's where I think this is where we get the flashback of the airplane that was like the basis for my pilot episode. Yeah, you know, like, even though you don't like Cyclops very much in this series, because he is kind of a, like I'd mentioned, he is kind of a jerk, like, you're starting to see some of the background. Like, we already know that he was raised in an orphanage thanks to the No Mutant is an Island episode that had, like, Purple Man as the villain and featured, like, all the X-Terminators, like Boom Boom and Rusty and Skids. And WizKid, that was a cool episode. But like, we get some of the trauma, like Cyclops was raised in an orphanage. And like in this episode, he's throwing that trauma at Corsair's face. Like, no way my dad's still alive, because like, if my dad was alive, he would not have let me grow up in an orphanage and feel unwanted and feel abandoned. Like, there's no way you're my dad, because my dad wouldn't have done that. And like, yeah, that's obviously a child rationalizing there, and obviously it's Scott doesn't know any better, so he's hung on to that rationalization his whole life. But you know, it's we as adults know that there's always more to it than that. Even though Cyclops is really angry and like unwilling to admit, at least early in this episode so far, he's unwilling to admit that, you know, maybe Corsair is his dad because he has that trauma that he's unable to let go. He at least like softens enough. And eventually in this episode, he'll let Corsair explain his, like his side of the story, which is also tragic as heck. And I like the attention to detail in this episode too, because I believe it's specifically called out in the comic books as well, that the ship that Corsair owned, the plane that he owned, was a de Havilland Mosquito. And that's what we have in this episode too. It's really cool. I'm not super into planes, but I like them enough to recognize certain planes. And like, that's a pretty well-known plane. And it's really cool that like the attention to detail here, like they really draw what looks to be a de Havilland Mosquito. And again, like that's what it was in the comics. And they go out of their way. They could have just said like, it's a Cessna, you know, or whatever. Like we had the Cessna 270, like they could have just thrown out like any, the writers could have just looked up, you know, private airplanes or whatever, and just thrown whatever they wanted in there. But like, no, they went back and they looked at the comics and they're like, this is the plane that he had. So let's put that in the show. I really like it. Yeah, so there we go. Scott finally hears Corsair's side of the story, and he's like, he's beginning to soften and realize, like, yeah, Corsair is his dad. And he gives the pendant back to Corsair because he's like, yeah, you know, you lost your wife and kids. You know, I lost my parents and brother. But like, you know, for me, I still remember them and all that. And like, you deserve to have this. Like, you lost something that day too. It wasn't like you abandoned me and left me in the orphanage. Like you thought you lost us just like we thought we lost you. I just like that. It's like this tender moment. He's actually looking at the pendant. There's like a little smile and he softens just a little bit and he gives it back to Corsair. In the meantime, like I should kind of go in, like this whole episode is the Shi'ar contacted the X-Men and said like, hey, we're in pursuit of a criminal, a wanted criminal, who's like landed by your area. So we need to get him. And of course, Cyclops and Storm, they know Corsair from the Phoenix Saga. So when they first meet him, they kind of get his side of the story, which is like, I'm being set up and all that. So Cyclops and Storm are actually trying to like help Corsair escape so that he can prove his claims. So we're actually getting some fun little battles here. They're like in a jungle now somehow. Yeah, they're trying to help Corsair. And of course, like Scott hears the Shi'ar, which is like, oh, this guy kidnapped someone and we want to get this person back. And so Scott's like, oh, I knew it. You know, I knew you were no good. You dirty space pirate. You, I knew it was too good to be true that my dad was back. You know, all this stuff. Typical Cyclops over here, like always looking at the negatives and situations, being pessimistic and whatnot in this series. One of the reasons why I like this episode, why it's ironic that I'm watching this episode now, is I've actually been reading this trilogy of novels, prose novels that are X-Men novels. It's the Mutant Empire trilogy. It's like three different books. Book one is called Siege. Book two is called Sanctuary. Book three is called Salvation. And it's kind of funny because in that book, in book one of the trilogy, the X-Men are hanging out at the X-Mansion when the Starjammer crashes into their lake, and Chode and Razar are like, hey Scott, I have bad news, like your dad's gonna be executed by the Shi'ar Deathbird arrested him, and yeah, we have like a day to get there and protect him and, you know, help him escape. And in the book, Cyclops takes a team of five X-Men to the Kree homeworld of Hala to rescue Corsair and Hepzibah from Deathbird. So it's kind of fun because it's like kind of starts the same, but this episode's very different than the way that book goes. And so now Scott and Storm are realizing that like Corsair didn't arrive here alone, and that Corsair actually possibly expected to be handed over by Cyclops and the X-Men. And so the Starjammers are actually like lying in wait to get Corsair back if Cyclops turned him over. So Storm was just like attacked by Hepzibah, Chode, and Ra'za.
Friends to murderers like you.
That's what I was hoping you would say.
So back on the Shi'ar ship, we actually see here that Corsair is in fact being set up like he said, and not only is he being set up, he's being set up by the very same Shi'ar police officer that has been tasked to track him down and bring him in. So pretty crazy. So it looks like they went to a jungle in South America based on these pyramid things. It looks like they're actually, the rest of the Starjammers are keeping watch over like a Shi'ar princess who had witnessed a crime. And the reason why the Shi'ar police officer wants to arrest the Starjammers is because he's actually been tasked to eliminate this witness, whereas Corsair and the Starjammers are trying to return her for a ransom, of course, because, you know, they're pirates. They don't just do things out of the kindness of their heart. They do the right thing, but for a price. Of course, Cyclops was also being held prisoner here, and one of the pilots just found out that there's this weird conspiracy aboard the Shi'ar ship. And so she has now freed Cyclops and given Cyclops the evidence that he needs to realize that that Corsair was telling the truth. And I don't think the Shi'ar witness is like a little 12-year-old girl. And I don't think in this cartoon that she's mentioned as being Lilandra's daughter, but I think in the comic books, she actually is. Like, I think in the comic books, Lilandra has a daughter who is now the Empress of the Shi'ar, or maybe it was Deathbird's daughter. I feel like it was someone's daughter. And she's like the future ruler, you know, she's the future Majestrix of the Shi'ar Empire. And her name is Chandra. And in this episode, the witness, the little girl witness is named Chandra. So I think that's just like a fun nod to the comics. I think they couldn't really have Lilandra having a daughter at this point because she's like romantically tied to Xavier, and that would be kind of weird. But yeah, I believe in the comics that Chandra is the daughter of Lilandra, maybe even the daughter of Lilandra and Xavier, now that I'm saying it out. It's been a while since I've really read any Shi'ar stuff in the comics, but I'm pretty sure that was the case. I don't remember. So being a big fan of the show Mobile Suit Gundam Wing, I'm really liking the war armor that some of these Shi'ar soldiers are using. It definitely looks like they're wearing a mobile suit. It's very cool. I loved that show, man, when it first dropped on Toonami, like way back in, man, that would have been like 2000 or 2001. Like that was in my my brief stint as a as an anime fan, where I got like really into Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and all that. So you know, I watched Toonami, and when Mobile Suit Gundam Wing came out, man, I loved that show. I still do. Like, it's on Hulu, and I've actually watched it like once or twice since maybe in the last decade. Heavy Arms was always my go-to, the red one with the like big machine gun arm. I loved him in the Endless Waltz movie, where he had like two double like giant Gatling gun. Oh, it was so cool. And he was blue instead of red, which I prefer, but yeah. Anyway, the Cyclops and Storm, with the help of a recently freed Corsair and the remaining Starjammers, and the pilot on the Shi'ar ship, they were able to like overthrow this bad guy and put him in prison. And so, yeah, now the Starjammers are about to head out and return Chandra to wherever it is that she needs to go, and also get their reward so they can fix up their Starjammer and continue their space pirate ways. But I like this, like the way it ends, it's like a really sweet ending, because they're like, well, we have to go. And Scott's like, but you're my dad. Like, maybe you can just hang out for like an hour before you leave, and we can just like catch up and chat, you know, maybe we can get some biscotti. Maybe we can throw the ball around, have a catch, you know? Yeah, so there you have it. That is season 3, episode 18, Orphan's End. It's a fun episode. It's action-packed. And like I said, like, we finally get to see like Scott soften up a little bit. Like, there had been a hole in Scott for his entire life, pretty much. And we finally get to see him soften just a little bit, because he's gotten a little bit of, you know, a little bit of that piece of him that's missing. He was able to get that back. He can finally talk to his father. Like, he has a father again, and he can hear stories about his mother and his brother and everything. So just a really great episode all around. So, Bub, there you have it. That is today's episode of Snicktoons, again, covering X-Men, the Animated Series, Season 3, Episode 18, Orphans End. As for what is in store for the podcast, like I mentioned, I'm trying to get through all the rest of X-Men, the Animated Series, before X-Men 97 debuts in fall of this year. And depending when I'm able to get that done and when X-Men 97 comes out, if we have any time in between, there are a couple of things I was looking at covering in the meantime, you know, with this being, with Snicktoons at least being part of Talkin' Snick that covers different X-Men cartoons, I was thinking maybe not necessarily jumping into X-Men Evolution right away, since that is a 4-season series. Maybe I can start that after X-Men 97. And I don't really want to get into Wolverine and the X-Men, since that was the third series. I was kind of looking to get into that after I did X-Men Evolution. But one thing that I might consider doing is covering the Wolverine anime. Now, I know that I did a Talkin' Snicked for it a while back. And I think it was like a 10-episode thing, so I might be able to get through that, possibly the just the X-Men anime altogether. Or maybe even just kind of do some deeper dives into the video games that will, you know, tide us over until X-Men 97 debuts. It's right now it's listed as like fall, so I'm expecting it to be like a September-October kind of release. But again, I don't know. Like, I don't think that there's a date has been announced, just that season. So I'm still looking at like maybe September, October as the release for X-Men 97, which gives me quite a bit of time to get through the rest of season 3 and then cover seasons 4 and 5 of X-Men the Animated Series. As I mentioned, I'm going to look to kind of roll the 2-part episodes into one kind of longer episode where myself and my guests would just talk about both episodes on one episode, just kind of have like a giant sized episode to cover those. There's one episode that's coming up in like mid-season four that I was actually thinking of like bringing on multiple guests and actually having like a roundtable discussion for it, because it's such a heavily requested episode to cover, and it's a really good story. So I might be bringing like multiple guests on to do like a roundtable style discussion for that. So, I mean, that's what's in store for Snicktoons, and we'll see how the year progresses. We'll see how things go. But hopefully I'm able to stick to this plan and get through all of that stuff. I also had a request to cover a couple of episodes from the Spider-Man, the animated series from 1994. There was like a 2 or 3 part crossover episode with the X-Men, and I had a guest host in the past ask to cover those with me if I ever did get to those. So that's something that I'm considering doing in the meantime as well, if I'm able to finish all of X-Men Taz before X-Men 97 debuts. So again, we'll keep our fingers crossed that everything goes well and goes according to plan, and I can finish off this show for you all and move into some other animated things. In the meantime, for Talkin' Snicked, I know I still have to finish the Omega Red episode, and I know, Baxter, if you're listening, I know that I still owe you an episode that reviews Wastelanders Wolverine and kind of brushes upon the other Wolverine-centric scripted podcasts from Marvel. So maybe I'll get to those one of these days. But to be honest, like, I've kind of been really itching to get into and cover Peter David's initial run of X-Factor. I know I talked about it at the beginning of this episode, but it's something that I've thought about going back and covering, maybe not necessarily issue by issue, but you know, a couple issues at a time. And just getting through it, just because I love that run so much. It's such a short run, and it's such an underrated run. It was just so much fun. All kinds of pop culture references, really great characterization, really interesting artwork from Larry Stroman that we had at the beginning, and seeing that kind of change as guys like Joe Quesada came in and everything. Just a really great run, and definitely worth talking to. A lot of little gems, and a lot of really great character moments went into those, you know, 20 or so odd issues. So I think I might end up doing that. You know, I kind of like how last October we did Talkin' Banff, where we covered the Nightcrawler miniseries. I'm thinking of doing a, you know, Talkin' X-Factor and getting into that. I'm not really quite sure what the fun little name would be for that initial run of X-Factor. But hopefully as I get through and I'm reading them, then something will come to me and I can do that. But that's kind of what I'm considering right now, is getting into that 90s X Factor and covering that to an extent. So we'll see. Otherwise, Bub, if you're interested, check out the show notes. I have a link to the Talkin' Snicked Discord in there. So if that's something that you're inclined to being a part of, then definitely click that link and come join us. It's not going to take up a whole lot of your time. So don't expect that it would be this major investment on your part to come be a fan of Talkin' Snicked in a Discord. It's pretty pretty informal and pretty lazy over there. Not really a whole lot goes on, it's still really fun, still really worth it. And if you've liked any of our special guest hosts, like most of them are members of the Discord, so you can let them know how much you love their pods and how much better they made the episodes of Snicktoons that they were a part of. So yeah, check the link in the show notes for that. Otherwise, like I said, check out Marvel Plus podcast as well. All right. Until next time, bub.